you want to apologize to Ryan Burrow?
Yeah, I don't like starting the day like that.
It makes us all look bad.
It's all right. I'm just as tall as Steve Bertrand, so it's understandable.
Quite honestly, I got a text from Steve Bertrand and said he doesn't like to start his day like that.
He was very upset.
So, sorry.
Is it one of those optical illusions? Do you remember the optical illusion when you were a kid where there were two arrows? It was two lines next to each other, and in one the arrows were pointing in, and in one they were pointing out.
Yep.
And it would say which line is longer, and one looked way longer.
The ones with the arrows pointing out looked way longer.
Right.
But then if you measured on your piece of paper, you took the edge of your paper and a pencil, exact
they were the
same.
So I think that Ryan and Steve have that exact same.
They're exactly the same.
Ryan's arrows point in, Steve's point out, but they are actually the same height.
Where are we going with this? Length, pointing, I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
All
I don't
right.
get it. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show.
Our show is an optical illusion.
It is.
And an audio illusion.
It
both.
Is. None of it actually exists. There's no record of it anywhere. Listen and
Thank
enjoy
God.
While you can, because it will just go away at some point. Like everything does. Everything does at some point. Sadly, I don't like to start on a sad note.
Yeah, but you complain about people and families that want to be the one to break the news. You're kind of like that.
Except that I think that because we're broadcasters,
we kind of have to. That's our job.
It's part of our job to deliver the news, whether it be good or bad or indifferent. So here's some news that's, well, it's sad for the world of cartoons, for animated, the world of animation has lost a giant. And that is June Foray, whose name may not mean that much. You might go, I'm not sure who June Foray is, except you have heard her for 70 years do voices. I guess the most famous one would be Rocky from Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Rocky J?
Rocket J Squirrel.
Yeah.
Right.
What's the J stand for? We never knew, did we?
June? Don't know. No, because that's June is a lady's name, and Rocky was a boy. So I don't think it's possible, but good luck getting into the military, my flying squirrel friend, because you cannot.
If we had flying squirrels in our military,
we would win every war.
Absolutely.
Every war would be won by us. So do we have a little bit of audio, Kevin, of Rocky J. Squirrel?
If not, I bet you can do it.
Well, the line that is my favorite line is he would always say, "No, here's something you'll really like," which is that's your Rocky Squirrel right there. The voice that I was always most impressed by, and it's really strange because in almost all of the cartoons with Rocky and Bullwinkle, you had June Foray doing Rocky and an actor named Bill Scott, who died years ago. He was doing the voice of Bullwinkle Moose. And those two same actors would then, a day later, be Sherman and Peabody,
Oh, yeah.
So that just it didn't occur to you as a kid, wow, the same people who are them are also them. And June Foray did thousands of things. She was she was still working. I mean, even though she was in her 90s. Oh, here, go ahead, Kev.
Showed me how to make it warm.
Oh, no, not wig warm, wig warm, as in teepee.
Oh.
As long as we're on the...
That was it. They always used to end abruptly because of the war. They
didn't want... Everything's because of the war.
Now here's something we hope you'll
really like.
Yeah, see, that's Rocky J. Squirrel right there. So very, very sad. She had done voices in Disney movies for years. She did one of the voices of the cats in Cinderella. She was Mulan's grandmother in Mulan. She was still working up until extremely recently, even though she was in her 90s. If you look at her IMDb page, not only in the 50s and 60s and 70s, but she was just working crazily until the last couple of years when things slowed down a little bit.
And how old was she?
I want to say 92.
99.
Was she 99?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That
wow.
sucks. If you make it to 99...
They should just give you 100.
Well, they can't.
They should. You should make it to... That's my goal is 100. I want 100 so bad. But if I go at 99, I'm not going to be happy about it. Because you're
He'll
right
be
there.
Dead,
you can see
so
the
you...
finish line. You're right there. You go there. Look, all I have to do is run a couple more yards. I make 100. She just missed it.
Well, if you're 99 and you're not feeling well, stick your chest forward and maybe you'll hit that finish line.
That's the only way I can do it. Yeah, all right. I will take you up on that.
She was born September 18th, 1917. So just a few months short of that 100 mark.
I was showing Kevin earlier, there is some video of her and Bill Scott doing the voices that, made them famous, Rocky and Bullwinkle.
But in their human form, right?
Yeah. You see
that
them
would be weird.
Up at the mic. And your brain almost doesn't accept it. Mine doesn't anyway, because you're so used to those coming. It's like when you see the cast of The Simpsons.
Yep.
Like they did an Inside the Actors Studio where, Inside the Actors Workshop, where the whole cast of The Simpsons is showing how they get the voices. And your brain almost doesn't accept it because you're so used to seeing them in animation form. Do you know who Alan Reed is? He did Fred Flintstone's voice.
Oh, yeah.
Alan Reed, in addition to doing Fred Flintstone, would have little bit parts in movies. He always played the star's father or grandfather. And anytime I ever saw him in a movie, I would just stare. Just my brain wouldn't accept that Fred Flintstone could be in human form.
That would be weird to see him in human form.
Yeah.
You know what's weird, though, is everybody's whining about there aren't a lot of women in film, but most of the women did little boy characters. I
Forever.
Mean, even Bart Simpson.
Yeah. Still to this day.
Yeah.
Because if there's any longevity to your cartoon, whoever's doing the voice will grow up and grow out of it because their voice will change, unless they hired me.
Well, you should have been doing cartoon voices. You missed your calling.
I did miss my calling. But yeah, for some reason, young boys on TV cartoons and in movie cartoons were almost all,
yeah.
not always, but many, many times played by women. June Foray being one of the best of them.
I can't say that I've been waiting for this day to happen because I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God bless June Foray, who was 99, man, mm-hmm. one short.
Mm-hmm.
She had 1 month to go, 2 months to go.
Oh, was she that close?
Didn't you say that September something, Ryan?
Yeah, September 17th.
Oh, she
2 months short. Yeah.
She just missed 100.
That's when you keep someone alive for 2 months, don't you?
I guess.
Come on.
I don't know.
What are you going to do? Weekend at Bernie's
yes.
with her?
Right. Don't announce it until.
Right.
Yeah, come on.
Right.
God, 2 months short.
100 is a really good goal, isn't it? It's
I'll
a nice
never
round
see it.
Number.
I hope I hit 60. But I have been holding on to
Las Vegas odds, Wendy. You don't even want to look. Don't even look.
I have been holding on to this article for months, 11 Things You Should Know About Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh.
And I didn't really know how to work
handy.
It into the program.
That couldn't be more handy. All right, let's do this. We'll take
I'll
a break.
I'll quiz you because I bet you know all of them.
I probably know some of them. We'll find out. All right, so that's coming up and then other things. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. That's some energetic cartoon music.
I need this for my alarm in the morning. Wouldn't that just get you up roaring
yeah.
to go?
It's very jolting, isn't it?
The show was created by producer Jay Ward
mm-hmm.
and cartoonist Alex Anderson. They had worked together on the Crusader Rabbit series.
Yeah, did you ever see Crusader Rabbit?
No.
I'm trying to remember where they used to show it. Somewhere on Channel 32 when we were little, they would show Crusader Rabbit. It was good. It wasn't as good as Rocky and Bullwinkle, but it was good.
Well, their initial vision was a show called The Frostbite Falls Review, mm-hmm. about a group of animals running a TV station, kind of like WGN.
Yeah, similar to almost exactly.
With your crazy Hoover, your Jeff Hoover and your Mike Toomey.
Yeah,
very similar. But the project never got beyond the proposal stage. The next attempt at a new series began with the pilot Rocky the Flying Squirrel.
Yeah.
General Mills came on as a sponsor, and Rocky and his friends were born. And this is interesting. Instead of hiring animators when production of Rocky and his friends got rolling, Ward convinced some friends at Dancer, Fitzgerald & Sample, an ad agency that had General Mills as a client, to buy the Mexican animation studio Gamma Productions so he could outsource the animation.
Interesting.
The plan saved money, and the Mexican studio churned work out quickly, but quality was an issue. So in the early episodes of the show, it's not uncommon to see characters' facial hair, costumes, and skin tone change color.
If you'll remember, if you look at a lot of animated shows in the, like, right around 1960 to 1964, the animation was horrible. They just, you know, they were doing everything they could to cut corners. Even shows that had been great, like Popeye.
Yeah.
Max Fleischer, he was such a great animator, and there was so much movement in the early Popeyes. But then as you got into the 60s and then the 70s, it was awful. You know, the frames per second ratio is all messed up.
I kind of wondered why it went downhill instead of uphill.
They just wanted to cut corners and crank it out faster because Saturday morning was demanding more product faster. But getting stuff like General Mills, I don't know if you remember, but if you'd watch a Rocky and Bullwinkle, almost half the commercials were for breakfast cereals. That's almost their target demo. That's exactly who they're shooting for, right?
All right, I'm intrigued, Bill, because Gary's on the line, and he says he knows a lot about Rocky and Bullwinkle, so I would like to quiz you two together.
Oh, all right. Hi, Gary.
Hello, Bill.
It's a sad day. We've lost the voice of Rocky and of Sherman.
Yes, I know.
And Natasha, she did dozens of voices.
She was Natasha?
Yeah, well, she was great. I've seen an interview with her, and she was great.
Yeah, talented lady.
All right, who was Bullwinkle named after, Bill versus Gary?
I want to say the Bull Moose Party.
His name was Bullwinkle J. Moose.
Isn't it the Bull Moose Party?
No.
Political? It isn't? I always thought it was.
Do you know, Gary?
It's his grandfather, I think.
Nope, you're both wrong.
What is it?
Bullwinkle is named after Jay Ward's friend Clarence Bullwinkle, spelled a little differently. It was K-E-L, a Berkeley landlord and owner of an Oakland Chevrolet dealership.
Oh, all right.
Oh.
The name of the time machine featured in Peabody's Improbable History.
The Wayback Machine.
Well, that's what...
The Wayback Machine.
But now you're both wrong. It's sometimes incorrectly written out as the Wayback Machine, but the correct name is the... W-A-B-A-C machine, a play on early computers like UNIVAC. So it wasn't like W-A-Y-B-A-C.
It was like a company name.
Right.
You didn't ask for spelling.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm reading this.
So you owe us each $50.
No, that was never part of it.
I thought you said it was.
Where is Bullwinkle originally from?
Frostbite Falls.
Jeez.
Right.
Bullwinkle is originally from the state Moosylvania, a small island in the Lake of the Woods.
Oh.
And is actually its governor.
Where did they go to school?
What's the matter you?
There you go.
Right?
Are you two going out to lunch today?
Maybe. If we win a prize.
All right. What do you know that we haven't covered?
Natasha's last name.
Fatal.
Okay.
Like femme fatale?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they could never say that they were Russian. Boris and Natasha, even though it was obvious they were Russian, Jay Ward didn't want to create any kind of problems, so they're never referred to as Russian, even though they're using Russian accents and things.
But you just assume.
Who was the ship captain?
Oh, what was his name? I don't
What ship captain?
There was a wacky ship captain. I can't remember his name.
Wrong Way Peach Fuzz.
Wrong Way Peach Fuzz. Very, very good, Gary.
Do you want me to get his number?
Yeah. Yes.
Gary, thank you for calling. So sorry to hear about June Foray.
I grew up on watching Rocky Bullwinkle in my grandmother's house in southern Illinois, and it was the only cartoon I could stand to watch.
Because it kind of appealed.
It wasn't made for kids.
Right.
It was smarter and made for kids and adults.
And remind me, Gary, Jay Ward, who did that, he's also the one that did Fractured Fairy Tales as well, right?
Yes. Well, Fractured Fairy Tales was part of Rocky and Bullwinkle. Part of that show was... Sherman
and Peabody,
and I think they also did
the Real Housewives of Atlanta.
The frog one,
Hoppity Hooper.
Oh my God,
Hooper.
You
Hooper.
Are bringing back such a lovely memory.
And the penguin one with
Tennessee Tuxedo.
Yeah,
Tennessee Tuxedo.
And Chumley.
Yep.
And who was the Mountie?
Dudley Do-Right. No!
Dudley Do-Right.
Nell Fenwick, right? That was
his
son.
And who was George?
George of the Jungle?
Watch out for that tree.
Wow, Wendy, very
nice. I think they're all in the same production house.
All right, we got to run, Gary, because we have other things planned for today, but thank you for participating in our Rocky and Bullwinkle tribute.
Well, you know...
One final question. For both of you. We'll see who knows it. Where did Rocky the Flying Squirrel go to school?
The one we got. What's the matter, you?
No.
No?
He honed these skills at Cedar Your Pants Flying School.
Wow. Very nice.
Cedar Your Pants. There you go.
Excellent. Thanks, Gary. Have a good week.
Have one.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, cedar, like the tree.
Yeah.
Your Pants, Y-O-R-P-A-N-T-Z, Flying School.
You know, the writing on all those shows, the Jay Ward shows, was always like that. The What's the Matter You and Cedar Your yeah. Pants. I mean, they went out of their way to
Very
make
punny.
Those words click in. Yeah.
All right, so yeah, Rocky J. Squirrel could glide, hover, and carry objects through the air. What was Bullwinkle's superhuman powers?
Oh, I don't know. What
he,
was it?
He possessed superhuman strength, referred to as his mighty moose muscle.
Oh, right. I remember them saying that. The mighty moose muscle.
Kevin, did you just make a sound effect?
I did. He's going to want more money now.
And the ability to remember every single thing he ever ate.
Really?
Yes.
I think Mary Lou Henner has that same skill set.
Oh, stop.
I think she does.
And this is an interesting fact. Rocky and Bullwinkle share the middle initial J.
Yeah.
But their middle name's never revealed. However, if you think of the creator, it was Jay Ward, J-A-Y. So
maybe a self-tribute a little bit?
Yeah.
The same way Matt Groening.
Hang on. Oh, I'm getting to it.
Right.
You're smarter than you look.
No, thanks.
Yes, Rocky and Bullwinkle shared the middle initial J. Their middle name's never revealed. Matt Groening gave the three male members of the Simpson family, Bartholomew J., Homer J., and Abraham J., the same initial as a tribute to Rocky and Bullwinkle.
That's what I was
thinking.
Isn't
that sweet?
Yeah, that is a nice tribute, isn't it? All right, we must take a break.
No, we don't have a break.
We don't have any breaks today.
That's why I'm talking
we'll
about...
go straight through.
No, fearless leader, we don't. The dictator of where?
Fearless...
Where was the...
the country that he dictated over?
And from that same country, the spy Boris Badenov, whose surname is a play on 16th century Russian czar Boris Godunov.
Right, right.
God, that really was funny.
Is it... Mulvania. That's
where
the
your
Marx
family's
brothers.
From.
It is.
I don't know.
Slovenia.
Oh, sorry.
Slovenia.
I get my vanias mixed up.
What is it?
It's Potsylvania.
Potsylvania.
I don't know why. P-O-T-T. Potsylvania.
Right, I would not have gotten that one.
All right. Well, that's all I have for the Rocky. I bet you that Jay Ward created it, named Bullwinkle, named after his friend Clarence Bullwinkle.
That's beautiful. All right. Now, here's the question. Even though we grew up with these as a staple of animation and a very important cartoon for our time, I'm afraid that this one fades away. Like, I know if I asked either of my kids to name any of these characters or the shows, it would be lost on them. Would yours be the same? Would they know Rocky and Bullwinkle?
I don't
or
know.
Sherman
That's
and Peabody
a good...
or Tennessee Tuxedo or George of the Jungle? I think
That's
that,
a good question.
I think...
Did you know him, Kevin?
I definitely watched Rocky and Bullwinkle.
You did?
Yeah.
All right, good. Very good.
Bill's proud of you.
I'm very proud of you.
Rocky and Bullwinkle live in the town of...
Frostbite Falls.
Very good. Where is it?
On TV.
What state?
Is it North Dakota?
No.
No? What is it? Minnesota?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The population of Frostbite Falls is variously given as 23... Then one episode, it was listed as 48 population, 29, 31.5, and 4,001 over the course of the series.
Wow.
And they just kept changing it.
Just pick a number at random. Wow.
It's like the couch gag in The Simpsons, kind of. It's the same thing, but different.
It changes all the time.
I love it.
All right. Now we must take a break.
No, there is no break. We're just
going
to go. We're going to go to news.
There are no breaks.
Can I tell you, our prayers are with Senator John McCain. He's got a tough battle on his hands. When it was originally announced that he had this type of brain tumor,
mm-hmm.
everyone was very hopeful. I don't know that the diagnosis is that great. And we are going to talk to a doctor about John McCain's recent glioblastoma diagnosis, just to find out a little bit more about that. We'll do that after the news, which you can introduce now, since you've been so anxious.
Now we're doing it. Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you, Ryan. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And I didn't mean to be Debbie Downer when I said that Senator John McCain's recent diagnosis doesn't look good. But I am not a doctor. That's why we brought in a doctor. We have Dr. Matt Lesniak in here, chair of the neurosurgery department at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, we had heard that John McCain was going for surgery from what he thought was a blood clot over his eye. And it turned out that that's when they found this, how do you say it?
Glioblastoma.
Glioblastoma. This is a type of brain tumor.
Correct.
And I don't know what the diagnosis is. What is his...
So, you know, this is an interesting story because, as you said, it evolved as a blood clot, right? But sometimes tumors bleed. You don't know this until you go in there and actually take the piece out that's either bleeding or not and have a pathologist look under the microscope and tell you whether this is something that just bled, whether it's a tumor that bled or something else that's going on. So the initial story was that this was a blood clot that was evacuated, but when the pathologists actually looked after the resection...
Something different.
They noticed that it was full of cancer cells. And what he was diagnosed with is a form of a primary brain cancer. So what does that mean? There are tumors that oftentimes start in the breast or the lung, and then they go to the brain. They're called metastatic. Versus what he has, it's a tumor that originated in the brain, and usually it's restricted to the brain. So it doesn't travel outside of what we call the central nervous system, which includes the brain or the spinal cord.
So that's kind of good news.
Well, on the one hand, it is good news because it doesn't spread outside, but because it is so aggressive in nature, it basically destroys your brain from the inside out and does it in a very rapid way. So that's not the
not
the so good part.
Yeah.
Does a tumor always mean cancer?
No.
It doesn't.
There are many different varieties of brain tumors. Some of them are benign, like, for instance, meningiomas. You go in, you resect it, people have a normal quality of life.
Yeah.
And then we have this subgroup called gliomas. You know, there are many different synonyms, or gliomas or astrocytomas. And even within them, there is a spectrum.
Yeah.
So we grade these tumors from gliomas that are behaving in a more benign fashion to those that are very, very aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And when I use the word benign or aggressive, we're talking about the response to therapy and longevity in terms of overall survival.
Mm-hmm. All right, this type of severe and aggressive brain tumor, glioblastoma, how many people does it affect? Is this common?
No, it's brain tumors are actually very rare, and this specific type of brain cancer affects about, let's say, 25,000 people in the United States every year. So we're talking about an incidence of 2 to 3 people per 100,000 population. So it's a rare tumor.
Although, Bill, you and I have discussed this, and there are a lot of people, a lot of our colleagues in radio and TV that have had brain tumors. I don't know if it has something to do with the radio waves of our headphones we're wearing. Bill, you're kind of concerned that maybe a cell phone has something to
do with it.
What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, this is a timely topic. Many people worry about it, and it's easy to extrapolate and sort of say, well, because I do this, this is probably why we see this. The truth of the matter is people have looked at the correlation between the use of phone calls and phone cell phones and brain tumors, and there really isn't any.
Does that make you feel better, Bill?
No, I don't believe you.
Well, that's too bad. You don't have to believe me. Just, you know, take the literature and you can hopefully have that as a validated step. Now, having said that, there is a small risk of having a benign type of a tumor that can occur in the middle ear. And there is an association that favors it with the use of cell phones. But even that is in a very limited number of studies and not conclusive. So those tumors tend to be benign and they tend to be involving the ear. But what Senator McCain has, which is a glioblastoma, you know, the only known risk factor is exposure to radiation, but most people don't necessarily have that.
In the early days of microwave ovens, there was a huge concern because that is low-level radiation.
Yes.
And people were going, is this safe for us to be this close to a microwave oven on a daily basis? Don't you find some carryover into the cell phone world with that?
The truth is it is very safe.
Yeah.
If you think about it, given the fact that every household has a microwave oven, I would be a very busy neurosurgeon, right?
That's true.
Every family would have somebody with a brain tumor if microwaves were so risky that they caused cancers in the brain or anywhere else. They are safe. Now, that doesn't mean you should stick your head in it and turn on the power.
Stop doing it.
Stop soon.
But other than that, you know, you'll be okay.
All right. That's good news.
I can't remember the last appearance Senator John McCain made, but remember he was kind of talking gibberish and people weren't really getting his point, and he was getting very frustrated that people weren't understanding him.
Yeah.
Is that any effect of what was found?
It could be. You know, I have not reviewed his medical records or his MRIs, but certainly the frontal lobe, especially on the left side, in people who are right-handed, can control speech and language. So depending on the exact location where this tumor was, it could have caused some either direct damage to those centers, or just some swelling from the tumor can actually push on those structures so they don't function so well. And on the left side, this could potentially manifest itself as language difficulties.
When somebody finds out they have this, glioblastoma, what is their first and best move once it's determined you have it?
Do your homework.
Yeah.
I think too often, you know, people present to the emergency room. They get a consult with a neurologist, maybe a neurosurgeon, and everyone tells them this is an emergency. You have to go to the OR that same day or next day. The truth of the matter is it's an important diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
But what you do and where you do it up front mm-hmm. pretty much will dictate a lot of subsequent care and what is available to you. So that cancer didn't happen overnight. Taking a week to do your homework, looking at what are the best places either locally or in the country or even in the world, depending on your abilities,
yeah.
can really make a huge difference in terms of the kind of care you're going to get and the outcome with this disease. So and I think that's actually true for most cancers.
I was just going to say, based on that, your possibilities, it's sad but true, the wealthier you are, you're a better chance for survival, right?
I don't know whether it has to do with wealth. It has to do with being informed.
Yeah.
Because if you don't buy into the hype that you're going to die unless I operate on you tomorrow, and you have a family member or somebody who says, hey, let's just think about this and mm-hmm. maybe get a second opinion and not just rush into the fear factor here, that's what you need to do.
Okay.
And you can that get yourself educated.
That is great advice, because really you think about it, you hear the C word and you freak out and it's like, let's get this out of me. But you're right. It didn't grow overnight. It's correct. Been there. You do have some time to make some great choices. Dr. Matt Lesniak, at the head of the chair of the neurosurgery department at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. We've all heard that if there are some symptoms that you can identify that could perhaps give you the diagnosis of a brain tumor, a severe headache where it feels like your head is being crushed in a vise. But are there always symptoms? I mean, how do you...
Yes. I mean, the truth of the matter is you have some symptoms that basically are persistent or okay. getting worse over time. Look, the truth is most people have headaches. That doesn't mean if you have a headache, you have brain tumor.
Mm-hmm.
But if your headache doesn't go away, if it lasts a week or two, if it's getting worse, and it's not typical to, let's say, your migraines or other headaches, that should tell you that something is a little bit different, and perhaps that should require an evaluation. So headaches are common, but they're nonspecific. You know, people present with headaches, they present with visual changes, they present with weakness. Sometimes they have a seizure. So all of those things can lead to further workup.
I'm a hypochondriac, so I, of course, have experienced all these symptoms in the last 5 minutes.
Well, we should get an MRI on you then today.
Mm-hmm.
See what we find.
Set something up in the green room. We'll
but
figure
see,
it out.
A lot of people, I think, I can't speak for everyone, but will hold back and not go to the doctor because they'll say, I am just imagining this. Yeah, I've had this headache. But it got better on Tuesday, and then it came back again on Thursday. But for a prolonged period of time, that's something where maybe you should start with your general doctor.
Sure. I mean, the truth is we're all afraid of bad news. And if you imagine worst-case scenarios, there's no incentive necessarily to go and pursue it and ask your doctor, you know, do I have brain cancer?
Right.
But it has to do with just knowing yourself. Like I said, everyone has headaches from time to time. But these headaches, maybe in your case, happen once a month, maybe twice a month. If you have them every day and you take the Tylenol or the Motrin or whatever the medication
and it's not
it's
responding.
Not getting better and 5 or 6 days you're into it and you start developing new symptoms like nausea or vomiting, that's not normal. It's outside of the normal pattern of what you experience as a human being, and that should be evaluated by somebody.
How genetic is this?
Brain tumors?
Yeah.
They're not genetic.
They're not at all.
There's no major association between hereditary inheritance. Now, if you're talking about genetics in terms of the biology of the tumors, yes, there are many mutations that occur in them, that the drive, what we call tumorigenesis, but they're not inheritable.
I mean, my mother died of brain cancer, so yeah. Am I more likely or less likely because she did?
No.
My numbers change at all?
They don't. If we're talking about glioblastoma, no. There are other types of tumors where there is some component that's hereditary, like yeah. neurofibromatosis, meningiomas, and so on and so forth, but not in glioblastoma.
Okay.
Yeah, there are so many different types of cancer. We just hear cancer and freak out and think it's all the same, but it's really not.
It's not at all.
All right. Dr. Matt Lesniak is with us, and the questions are starting to come in because everyone has them. 312-981-7200. He's the chair of the neurosurgery department at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. What is the website for Northwestern?
NM.org.
I thought that seems very quick and easy. NM.org. And we will continue. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and we are talking about the recent diagnosis of glioblastoma for Senator John McCain. And we have Dr. Matt Lesniak in the studio with us, chair of the neurosurgery department at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. I have a friend who has metastatic cancer, not brain cancer, and she had posted something on Facebook because everyone's saying you need to fight, you need to fight. But for someone who has cancer, they are fighting, but if they ultimately lose that battle, it almost makes them feel that they didn't fight hard enough. I mean, you need to be positive about getting better. That has a lot to do with it. My mom had cancer. My sister took her to some conference that told you how to be positive, and it was kind of goofy, Bill. I was telling you this. You want to imagine that the cancer are ghosts in Pac-Man, and you are Pac-Man eating the cancer. It's beneficial to have a positive attitude, but what about that fight? I mean, you're doing the best you can, and if you ultimately lose that fight, it doesn't mean you're weak.
No, I think you bring up a really important point. You know, our attitude dictates a lot in terms of our disposition and how we behave and what we do. So if you have the attitude that I'm going to give this the best chance, you're going to become educated. You are going to seek out the best places in the city or in the country for a given care. And even when therapy is failing, there is an opportunity for you to enroll in clinical trials that will help advance the therapy of a certain disease. So hope can mean different things to many different people. For some, it's fighting the disease. For others, it's participating in research that will change the course of the disease. And ultimately, you know, having a positive attitude when you fight something that is very difficult, I think allows you some meaning in terms of spending your every single day of life and not just giving in and waiting for something horrible to happen. The truth is that despite a diagnosis like a glioblastoma, we have people who are long-term survivors. And it's every once in a while that the therapy actually works. And whether it's the genetic makeup of that person or the response to therapy or whatever it is, it's the fact that we have those patients who make it that I think allows us to hope and participate in the care and research and delivery of novel therapies.
Great advice.
And there's a bunch of calls, and we want to get to those, but if you were ever going to get cancer, this would be the best time to get it because there's been so many strides in the last 10 or 15 years, right? I mean, it's been much more positive.
I mean, it's
negative.
Never a good thing to get cancer, let's face right. it. But right. there have been a tremendous amount of advances in cancer care over the last 10 to 20 years. And in fact, many of the cancers that were incurable 50 years ago are now.
Right.
A lot of them are hematological disorders. So we have made strides. We have made strides even in brain cancer. In the last, you know, 15 years, we've had a couple of therapies that are FDA approved that weren't here 15 years ago. And so that envelope and the survival, it's constantly being pushed forward, and it takes scientists, physicians, and ultimately people with the disease to be willing to work together and make a difference.
Bill, I remember my grandmother had breast cancer many, many years ago. It was pretty rare then, and she had terrible burns from the radiation. So I just thinking how far treatment for breast cancer has come.
Yes.
It is pretty amazing.
Yes.
It was
very much so.
Terrible before.
Sure.
I have cancer, brother, mom, grandmother, maternal grandmother. So I don't know. Is there cancer screenings I should be doing?
We can talk about it later.
Uh-oh.
Well, people always say there's a history of cancer in my family, but at this point, it'd be really tough to find anybody that doesn't have cancer somewhere in their family, right?
Look, what has happened historically is that people live longer. If you look 500 years ago, the average survival wasn't what it is right now.
Right.
If you look at the average survival of the woman in the United States right now, it's 86 years. 500 years ago, it was probably 30. So as we live longer, as much as we hate to admit it, mm-hmm. our bodies are somewhat meant to fall apart.
Mm-hmm. That just happens.
And a lot of the cancers are a disease of older people. Not all of them, because we see them in the very young, but usually the very old. And then there are the in-betweens, but that's not where the majority of patients are.
Bob has called us at 312-981-7200. Bob, we're talking with Dr. Matt Lesniak from Northwestern Memorial Hospital. You have a comment or question?
Yes, good morning to all of you. I just want to say my brother had glioblastoma multiforme. He was diagnosed back in 2006 at Lutheran General in Park Ridge and had a tumor about the size of a peach removed above his left ear. And what caused him to get this checked out is he was getting lost a lot when he'd go out for a walk or for a drive in his car. He couldn't make sense when you were talking to him. His function of speech and everything was okay, but he didn't understand what people were talking to him about. And so they finally did an MRI and found this tumor, and they removed it. And at the time, this was back in 2006, they said that this type of cancer was fatal, you know, that he would have about 12 months to 18 months of life. But we got started with Northwestern with Dr. Jeffrey Razor and his team. And the surgeons down, he had two more surgeries at Northwestern plus a gamma knife procedure. And he doubled his time. He died in 2009, but it was like 3 years and 2 months longer than from the time of his original surgery. So he, you know, the procedures they did and the clinical testing he went through, I really believe helped him live, and he had a good quality of life up until about the last month.
Sorry about your brother, but that it serves to your point, Dr. Lesniak, that it's important to do your research and how do you find a good doctor? Thank you for calling, Bob. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you. Have a great day.
How do you go about doing it? How do you know who's the best? I know you're great. I know Northwestern's great.
We read
great.
Your Yelp reviews. Outstanding.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, you know, I think speaking to the gentleman who just called, I'm sorry for his terrible loss because he's been dealing with this and his family in the context for a number of years. But, you know, going back to the question, sometimes if you have a diagnosis and somebody tells you have brain cancer, and you are in the emergency room of a local hospital, unless you're really decompensating and are completely unstable, it's okay to go home. And it starts with something as simple as just going on Google and looking at, you know, what is the best brain tumor group in the country. Looking at resources, you know, for different cancers, they exist. For instance, the American Brain Tumor Association is based in Chicago. They're a great resource in terms of the information they provide, both for specific diseases as well as referrals and evaluations of places. And then you ask around, too. I think, you know, fortunately, when it comes to brain cancer, we're one of the leading places in the United States. And in fact, we just brought Roger Stoop from Switzerland, who actually is responsible for two of the FDA-approved therapies for brain cancer. So he's a world leader and has set the standard actually around the world for the management of patients with brain cancer. And he's now here. He's local. He's taking care of people in Chicago, and they fly from all over the world to see him. So, you know, just spending some time looking at who does what and who sets the standard of care, I think, is very important. And who pushes the envelope in terms of the research.
It's scary. I mean, you're right, Bill. You say cancer has touched all of our lives mm-hmm. at some point, and a lot of people feel that, you know, we all have cancer cells in us, and whenever they become active is when we get it. It seems like it's all over the place.
Well, fortunately, our immune system is able to eliminate most of them. So we know that there are individual cells that are precancerous or cancerous circulating in our body, maybe in you and me at this given time.
But this, I know this sounds crazy, but diet does play some role in this, right? I always read research about how vegetarians have a much lower cancer rate than non-vegetarians, so there's got to be something to that.
There are some cancers, you know, for instance, gastrointestinal tumors, et cetera, that meat really can affect the way you digest food, and there's an association. But, you know, whether it's the meats, whether it's all of this genetically engineered food that we create right now, nobody really knows. So there's a lot of speculation about some of these things, and there are association between certain food groups and cancers. But it doesn't mean that if you have a specific type of a tumor, and I'm speaking very generally, you know, you should avoid eating a certain type of a food.
I could listen to you talk all day. You seem like a very caring doctor, and thank you for talking with us. Maybe you've calmed some of our fears about this. Dr. Matt Lesniak, the chair of the neurosurgery department at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. You can go to nm.org to find out more. Thank you for enlightening us today. We really appreciate it very much.
We'll take a quick break. We've got news next and then more show. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Ryan Burrow. We appreciate it. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And I am not a big fan of going on rides at carnivals or many places. And part of the reason is I'm afraid. I know you think nothing's going to happen. That is not the case at the Ohio State Fair in Columbus yesterday. One person was killed. Several others were seriously hurt after a ride malfunctioned at the Ohio State Fair. You saw the footage of this?
I saw the unedited footage. There's two video clips going around the internet. One is just the ride doing what the ride is supposed to do.
The fireball.
It's the fireball. And it was set up in Ohio. And so the footage that most television news shows are showing is the ride doing what it's supposed to do, which is swirling around and going up in the air and swirling around. And then kind of the aftermath of the ride already having broken. But there's also footage in a couple of websites where you can see the people flying off of the ride. The ride malfunctioned, and you see bodies just flying off of this thing, and you just gasp, because how many times in your life have you been at a fair, an amusement park, a theme park, and you watch these rides, and they go off without a hitch? But when you see it go so horribly wrong, it just jolts you.
All right. What is the fireball like for those of us who have not ridden it?
It rotates kind of like a merry-go-round, but really fast. You sit in a cart and it does that. It rotates about 13 times per minute. In the meantime, you're swinging like a pendulum.
Yeah.
And as if you haven't seen the video yet, it doesn't actually happen at the top or at the peak. The incident, some kind of impact or some kind of loud bang or crash happens as it's swooping down at the ground level, and you hear a loud crash, and that's when you see this this car kind of come off and the people become ejected. And we don't know if the one person was killed, seven injured. We got an update on the injuries. Three of them remain critical. We don't know if it was the result of some kind of impact at the ground level or just, you know, being thrown 20 feet into the air.
It's horrendous when you see it.
I just saw it.
Yeah, it's sickening.
Ohio Governor John Kasich said he had ordered a full investigation and ordered all rides closed until additional safety inspections can be conducted. He said, we will get to the bottom of this.
They had 11 rides that did not open yesterday because they hadn't gone through the proper inspections yet. So this one had been inspected several times. In fact, just hours before this incident happened. So they don't know what the heck happened.
Ryan, I remember a couple of years ago, and I don't remember which state this took place in, but there was a similar mishap. I don't think people died on this one, but a ride just didn't do what it was supposed to do. And they were saying at the time that with these traveling carnivals and fairs, they're tougher on them to make sure that the safety rules are abided by. You know, I remember as a kid, my parents were always very leery of us going on those carnival rides because they'd say, you know, it's a traveling carnival. They set them up and take them down in just a matter of hours. They're not permanent. It's not the safest thing in the world. But, you know, you figure it's a numbers game. You go, I've seen thousands of people go on this thing without an incident. Why would it just happen the time I'm on it? But it did yesterday.
This ride, by the way, had just wrapped up in New Jersey, and it had no problems. It had been in New Jersey for 2 weeks with no issues.
See, I often wonder that myself. We have the LaGrange Pet Parade, and it's been there for over 50 years. As a kid growing up in Brookfield, we'd always go to that carnival that came with the Pet Parade. and my kids have been on it, and it is that traveling show. You see them in parking lots,
right?
Like Thursday morning, because they're going to start setting up, yeah, you know, after rush hour on Thursday, so they're ready to roll. And you really do think of that. It's like, you know, what if they had a late night and a lot of driving? They got to set these things up. So it makes me happy that they go through stricter rules. There's never been a mishap at the LaGrange Pet Parade, I want to say,
too. Oh, sure. Right, right.
And for the majority of these traveling carnivals, there aren't.
We used to have one in Oak Forest. It was the JC's Carnival, because they're the ones who put up the money. And I just remember everything being so rickety. Every ride you would go on, the metal didn't quite do what it was. I mean, everything was just shaky and rickety, and then you'd see the people. I know this sounds horrible, but you'd see the people who just quickly put the rides up, and you go, my life is in that guy's hands? I don't know.
It is something to consider, but there's really never been a problem with them.
And remember, too, remember the big incident last summer with
the water slide?
It was called, yeah, the water slide with the boy who was on it. And, you know, the ride was a permanent structure.
Yeah. Right.
It's just he may have been too light or may not have been in the right position, or it sounded as though the strap broke. So, boy, if this is going to take a long investigation. They just wrapped up a press conference. Governor Kasich just walked the fairgrounds. They opened up the fairgrounds today, but they're not running any of the rides until all of them undergo inspections. And he was kind of pressed on the safety of these rides. And he actually got a little testy and said, there's an element of risk to rides. It's a decision everyone makes, adding, if we're looking for guarantees in life, they don't exist. Which, you know, I think we can all agree.
Sure.
I mean,
he's right, but that's not the proper time to say it, because you do kind of think you're going to be safe on a ride. You do.
It's a tricky situation, because it's a daredevil moment where you go, boy, this is so frightening and dangerous, but I'm going to conquer it. But, you know, it's a ride that's on a track or on a rail, and you go, it's built to make me scared, but I'm going to survive this. And then when something like this happens, like, I guarantee you, once somebody gives the okay on this ride, even though a guy died on this ride, if they give it the okay today, this afternoon, people are going to go on the ride again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you run this risk, right? People fly. They know that they've seen stories about planes crashing. People step out into Michigan Avenue and the pedestrians have been struck. I mean,
right.
it's a risk we're all willing to take. It's just how safe do you feel, I guess.
And there are freak accidents. I understand that.
Sure.
I'm anxious to see if this was a freak accident or if something actually...
Yeah.
It doesn't seem in the video that there's any kind of funny business. I don't get the impression, Bill, maybe you, when you looked at it, I don't think anyone was trying to get out of a seat seatbelt off. I mean, it looks like there is actually an impact that sends this thing flying.
Right.
And then you wonder, okay, they're inspected and stuff. Do they inspect every single nut and bolt? I mean, I guess you could say that on an airplane, too, but you like to think that they do check everything.
And this was described as a spectacular ride, which is the classification. You had to be 48 inches tall to do this, so it's not like a little kid could have gotten on this. And as far as the inspection process goes, that's how it's kind of classified. It sounds like it was heavy duty. The director who's in charge of it is actually part of the Department of Agriculture. They're the ones who go in and inspect these kind of rides. So,
14-year-old boy was injured all the way up to 42 years of age.
Yeah, the 18-year-old identified as Tyler Jarrell of Columbus, Ohio.
You know what's crazy, and I've seen this so many times over the years at Great America, at Disney World, you name the amusement park, but I've seen this, where parents are arguing with the person. You know, they have a thing that says, you must be taller than this to go on this ride, and you see parents just furious. We've been waiting in line for 15 minutes. You're not going to let my kid on the ride? They're not doing that to be mean. They're doing it because it's a safety hazard. If you're too short or too tall or you weigh too much to go on a ride, it makes it dangerous.
But see, what makes me uncomfortable is my boys are both taller than me now, but when they were younger, at various places, I'm not going to name names, but at various locations, they weren't quite there yet, and the person would go, all right, whatever.
Oh, really?
And that bothers me.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't arguing with them. I was kind of going, I don't have to go with you on this ride.
Right.
Jim, you can take them, but they let them through. And that water slide thing, and I don't know what has turned out to be the result of that accident.
It was quietly taken care of in a lawsuit. They agreed to terms and kind of went away.
Because when that happened, they had said that there has to be like a certain amount of weight on these rafts that was on that water slide.
Right.
And I mean, you know, a lot of times you get a kid who is, it's a summer job. I don't know how much they, and I'm not blaming anyone, and I don't know what happened, but a lot of times there were people with me that said, oh, yeah, just let's go.
We don't have any indication in this case in Ohio that it has anything to do with the size, just so people understand. Yeah, that, that case was unique in at the water park in Kansas.
Ryan, you hear in the video, you hear a little bit of, as these cars are rotating very quickly around, you hear a little bit of a thud before you see people kind of flying off the ride. So my guess is that two of the, I say cars, but they're not really, they're in like a circle. So there's a group of either three or four in a circle, and then they take turns going up in the air. It looks almost as though two of them either collided or came close to colliding before one of them went off track and
it kind of, yeah, it kind of looked like it crashed into something. Yeah. The way the noise happens, it almost looks like there was either some kind of obstruction as it swung back up, and that's what caused it to kind of break apart, or perhaps maybe it scraped the ground and hit the ground and came loose that way.
That's what it looks like to me.
Maybe it wasn't. I mean, they said they do level checks, but maybe somehow while it was swinging, it got lodged in a way that when it swooped back down, it dug into the ground, and that's what forced it to kind of break apart. It's such strong force.
I remember a couple of years ago, they did a story on a guy who, the job title was track walker. So what his job is at Great America, every morning before it would open, he would have to walk the track that the roller coaster would go on. And he explained that there are certain tests you had to do every day. There were certain tests you had to do a couple of times a day. There were certain tests you did once a week or once a month. But they were very, very, very strict that all these checks and balances need to be met, you know, for the ride to continue. You had to initial everything and say, I'm the one who checked it. I'm the one who saw that the bolts were in place and everything was tight. Everything was the way it was supposed to be. And I also mentioned that with these traveling carnivals and you know, whatever they set up, like at this one, was this a fair? Is that what they call
it? It's the Ohio State Fair, the big one, yeah.
So
this was brought in. It's not.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They had mentioned
2 weeks
that
they're
tougher on those than they are on the ones that are there all the time.
It almost looks like it hits like a food stand or something. And see, that's something that obviously these people consider when they're setting up their ride, there's not a trailer there.
How close something can be to the ride, yeah.
And it was running before all day. This wasn't the first run of the day, correct?
Right.
It was not, no.
And, you know, I understand John Kasich saying that you do, nothing's guaranteed. I do get that. But you certainly...
If you're the parents of the people of the guy who died on this, you don't want to hear that.
No, and even if you're a rider on that, I don't really think I'm going to die when I'm on a ride.
Right.
You know, when I'm at Splash Mountain, I don't think that I'm going to die.
Yeah.
But I'm scared.
Right. That's the game of the ride.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think many people think, you know, this might be my last ride forever.
Right.
So, yeah, accidents do happen, but I don't know.
Do you get that? Because I love amusement park rides. I'm a roller coaster. I love that kind of stuff. But on every ride I've ever taken, there's that second somewhere where you go, what am I doing? You know, it just takes a second.
I think that in line. And I usually, you know how they have the outlet for people who have chickened out?
Yeah.
Gone down that many times.
The Wendy line they always call that?
I usually have that thought, like, what am I doing standing in line for 45 minutes for a ride that lasts 30 seconds?
I know.
Should be reading books right now.
All right, there are people who want to discuss this with us, and we welcome your calls and texts. We'll get to those next. We're at 312-981-7200. Call us or text us. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right, Bill, play ball. Celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today.
I'm wearing a John Lackey vest right now.
You didn't come for a haircut.
No.
A vest?
Came for the jewelry, yeah. Horrible, horrible situation in Ohio as one of the rides. What's the name of the ride? It keeps...
Fireball.
The Fireball. Kind of did everything you wouldn't want it to do, and one person is dead. Several are in critical condition. Governor Kasich trying his best to make sense of it all, but it's very hard to make sense of the situation.
And he did mention, as Ryan pointed out, what was his exact quote, Kasich's quote about...
Yeah, let me pull it up here. He says, press conference took a bizarre turn when the governor got testy, peppered with ride safety questions. This is from ABC. He said, there's an element of risk to rides. It's a decision everyone makes, adding, if we're looking for guarantees in life, they don't exist.
He's right. It's just the timing of
it
is awful, but he's right.
I know, but
you look at these rides, though, and you go, that's just... That's a disaster waiting to happen, but thankfully it hardly ever does. But when it does, it's awful.
Yeah, but shouldn't he have kept with, we're going to investigate and get to the bottom of this? Yeah. I mean, that seems, yeah, we know that, but that's not something the, you're right, the parents and family of that 18-year-old want to hear.
And by the way, guys, both Indiana and Illinois have said they're not going to have that ride or a similar type ride at their state fairs this year. They're already pulling
probably
out.
Probably a good idea, right?
Yeah, but it just makes me think some other ride is going to...
There was a ride that they always used to have at our 4th of July carnival that you had a car that kept tumbling over and over and over, and then it would go real high up in the air and come back down. So you were upside down most
the zipper?
Of it. Yeah, it was the
it's
zipper.
It's like a Ferris
yeah.
wheel that would,
like
you
this,
could turn
it
over.
It was an
elongated
right?
Ferris
yeah. right.
wheel and went fast. And I actually rode a zipper at one point in my
you
riding
did?
Career.
That yep. does not seem like a
I
ride
know.
For you.
I think I got sick immediately afterwards, but...
My friends and I used to, at the end of every night, we would go underneath the zipper and find like $30 in change because you were upside down all the time. So
buried in puke.
Well, there's always a downside to every business venture.
Money's dirty.
Did you get yourself some hats too?
Yeah.
No, they're
some
usually
Mario's
caged
Speedwagon
in, right? T-shirts.
Yeah. Oh, it is caged in. Yeah.
That's right.
It is caged in.
All right, Nadine wants to talk about this. Hi, Nadine. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing good. Oh, boy, this stuff just, it's so sad. And actually, that response back I had was terrible. I just heard that, and I thought,
I agree.
Are they kidding? But about 35 years ago, because you don't forget when this kind of stuff happens, my sister and I were on a ride with our kids, and they were like 5 years old, and I was in one thing, she was in another, and our kids were in front of us in between our legs. But as the ride was going around, it was going faster and faster, and for little kids. But you could almost feel I had to keep, like, pushing my daughter back down.
Hmm.
I kept feeling
her. Because gravity, like, or just centrifugal force was pulling her away from you?
Exactly. And she was kind of coming up a little bit, and when we both got off that ride, we both said, did you feel that? And we said, yeah, we're never going back on that ride again. And about a month later, a little girl did get sucked right out of that ride, and she was dead. It was Fans Village. You know, and those are permanent rides. And, you know, I'm right with you, Wendy. I hate rides. Hate them.
But, I mean, when you do go on them, I never go, I could die on this. I just go, oh, I wish I wasn't on this ride right now. Yeah. Oh, it's actually a little more fun than I thought, you know? But I don't think about dying.
I never think about fun. We went to Walt Disney World a few years ago, and it was right when, Wizard Harry Potter.
No.
His wizard kid. It had just opened up, and my grandkids.
That's
like
Universal Studios, by the way.
What did I call it?
Disney World. It's down the street a little bit, but it's Universal with the Harry
Potter. He's a Disney snob.
I am. I am. So, what happened there, though?
And I waited in line in 95-degree weather, like 2.5 hours, and my grandkids, who were like young teenagers, kept saying, Grandma, be brave. And I said, okay, I'll be brave. And I'm on this stupid ride, and I am screaming, I hate that ride. And
Wendy does that on the elevator every day.
You and I should ride together. We'll go on a nice little paddle boat.
Yes, I will do that with you for sure. But you know, after that, back again at Santa's Village. You know, you would think that would be checked and checked and checked. But yeah, I saw the video of that ride yesterday, and I don't know. I worked at a place where every October they had an Oktoberfest, so for a month there were rides. And I'm sorry, but those people have a really rough life. The people who work for, you know, setting up those rides and stuff. I feel bad for those people. I'm not cutting them down. I just think that they have a real hard time with their life.
Thanks, Nadine. We have to run for news.
Yeah, we have to run for news. But thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
Bye bye.
Bye. All right, we must take a break. We've got news next. Dean Richards will join us. We will talk about the world of show business, Wendy. It's very glitzy, the world of show business. Some new movies coming out. He'll tell us what's good and what's not. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. He knows.
knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys, Dean.
I'm pretty excited to talk to Dean because I finally saw a movie.
Dean, Wendy saw a movie.
Dalmatians.
No, I know I'm late, so. No.
Chips?
No.
Baywatch?
No.
All good. Every movie Dean has mentioned are great movies.
Oscar worthy.
Each one of them.
See, here's why I could never be a movie reviewer, because I don't see them right when they come out or before.
You wait a little while.
I see them months after. I finally saw Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
I absolutely loved that movie.
Right?
It was...
girl power.
But see, you and Bill both kind of said that. It is girl power, but they don't make men look bad other than the kilt-wearing guy who makes himself look bad.
Yeah.
But it's not like a man-hating movie at all. It's just an empowerment of women. And God, does she look like Anna Balaval. She reminded
intentionally.
Me so much of Anna Balaval.
She thanked her in the credits. I don't know if you stayed all the way till the end for all the credits.
I didn't.
Dean, weren't they going to give the part originally to Anna Balaval, and then they decided not to?
Too difficult to pronounce her name,
right,
as it turned out.
You didn't think of her at all as you were watching it? Because I couldn't stop thinking of her.
I guess a little bit. No, yeah. I mean, now that you say it, I guess I can see it, but it didn't.
Not at the time?
It didn't cross my mind. All right. I don't think.
And I've seen Anna Balaval jump in the air and swirl her leg underneath yours to knock you down.
Well, she's got a lasso of truth, if you know what I mean.
I don't know what you mean, but I'm going to pretend I do.
All you got to do is add if you know what I mean. It sounds right. A little dirtier.
I'm still with you.
It doesn't matter what you say.
But yes.
If you know what I mean.
I just feel I couldn't wait to talk to you to say I loved it. I finally saw a current movie.
Yeah.
It's not 100% current.
It's a good one. No, that's going to wind up being one of the biggest ones of the year. So that was, I think that was a good choice for you to
And consider. Wendy also just saw The Boatniks with Robert Morris and Christopher.
Shut up.
But 1971.
It's good timing because they have announced the second Wonder Woman, haven't they?
They did. Gal Gadot is confirmed. The movie's going to be out December 12th, 2019. I think it's so funny that they give us the exact date.
It's on my calendar already.
This far, yeah. So Wendy will be seeing it in 2023. But
right.
Nonetheless, she'll be seeing it eventually.
There's no way they wouldn't make a sequel to this. It was a huge hit in every respect, right?
No, huge. It may be the biggest grossing movie of the year. I can't remember if it finally eclipsed Guardians of the Galaxy 2 or not. But if it's not the number one movie, it's pretty close to number one movie of the year so far.
Can I say I saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2 also?
There
so look at me.
There you go. Did you write on the cutting edge of 6 months ago? Spider-Man? Did you see Spider-Man?
No, we might do it this weekend.
How about...
Poor Jimmy Mack's been trying to get me to go. I'm like, I can't sit there. I will say Wonder Woman theater ass kicked in. It was pretty long.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, there were a lot of bad guys to fight.
I guess.
Yeah. Ask them to speed it up next time.
It was over 2 hours, wasn't it?
Maybe you need to go to one of those more comfortable theaters.
Yeah.
I get bored.
You go to the dollar theaters where you have to sit on bar stools.
Wendy climbs a tree. There's a drive-in near her house, and she just climbs a tree and watches it in the tree.
See, at least I could climb a little higher when I get fidgety. It's hard to sit that long.
That's very, very true.
And one of my first radio jobs was in Aurora. It was WMRO. The Talk of the Valley.
Yeah.
What valley?
The Fox Valley.
Oh, okay.
1280 a.m. on your dial.
Yeah.
Dean in the morning.
Oh.
Right down the street from a drive-in theater that was, I forget what street it was on, but it was out in the Aurora area, but there was a drive-in theater nearby, and we would get lawn chairs and go sit on the roof of the building.
Oh, great.
And drink beer and watch whatever the movie was, not being able to hear a thing.
Yeah.
But we would sit up there and do what Wendy does.
Every once in a while, Dean, I grew up in Oak Forest, and there were two drive-in movie theaters about 15 minutes away. And sometimes we'd be driving past them. And remember, you could kind of see them from the highway a little bit.
Yeah.
So every once in a while, there'd be an R-rated movie, and my brother and I would just, we wouldn't blink. We would just stare at the screen in hopes we would see something.
Oh, yeah. That R-rated pleasure.
Yeah. Oh, Valerie Perrine is on. Something magical is about to happen. This is going to be great.
Look, Stockard Channing, look.
This is going to be great. Dean, some good news about Jon Stewart. Did you see this?
I did see. He's going to be doing a stand-up special or two.
Two?
For HBO. They haven't announced dates. They haven't announced anything, but I'm delighted to see him coming back to do stand-up.
That's going
to
be great.
Glad to see him. Everything's good with HBO because I would love nothing more than for him to come back and do a Daily Show-esque something or other for HBO.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Mahershala Ali, who won Best Supporting Actor for Moonlight. Wendy's going to be seeing that movie. It's scheduled in February next year, even though it won the Academy Award for Best Picture last year.
Hey, was it the Highlight Drive-In, by the way?
I don't remember.
Oh, on Montgomery Road in Aurora.
I want to say it was on New York Street.
All right, sorry.
New York Street or Route 59, something like that. That's where the radio station was. Anyway, Mahershala Ali has just signed on. He's going to be doing True Detectives.
Oh, the third season?
Yeah, next year for HBO. So they made a few announcements on some things that are coming up.
They get the most amazing casts. The first season of the show was really good. The second, not as good.
That
but
was
they,
the Vince Vaughn season? Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't quite have the luster that the first season had. It's still okay, but not as great.
Bill hates Vince Vaughn.
No, I love Vince Vaughn.
I love him.
I really enjoy Vince Vaughn.
No, you hate Kevin Hart.
Yeah, I don't like Kevin Hart. Hate's a strong word.
I've heard you use it.
I despise
it.
Kevin Hart.
Bill hates anyone who is short or tall.
Yes.
Boy.
I think all people should be
Thank
average
God
height.
Thank God I'm in the middle.
I want people to be average height. That's it. I know that seems awful, but that's it.
Manute Bol's on the phone. Tell
don't
him
like him.
Bill's not going to take his call.
Hang up on Manute Bol. Yeah.
You come up to Bill, and if you're over like 6 feet, you better crouch down a little bit.
Well, you've seen the video of me and Billy Barty having a spat, right? You ever see that video?
I do remember that.
Oh, was that crazy?
I do remember seeing that. I didn't understand what was going on.
No, I didn't either. I was in the middle of it, and I didn't understand.
It all makes sense to me now, though.
All right, we'll take a short break, and then Dean will explain which movies.
Short break, I get it.
Oh, Billy Barty, take that. Dean will tell us which movies to see and which we shouldn't see this weekend and for Wendy in 8 months. So stick around. That's coming up next, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Dean Richards is with us right now. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder on WGN. There's a whole
and you
lot.
Know what else?
Yes, what
you
else?
Know what else?
What?
As if by magic, as we were just talking about her a minute ago, Annabelle Aval.
What?
Just walked in and I told her what you said.
Yes.
Wendy, that.
She likes me more now.
Do you hear that?
No, what?
Let's say it one more time.
I love you, Wendy.
I love you right back, Annabelle Aval. I kept thinking.
Jeez.
How do you
think
say
she's
her name?
In West Side
Goal.
Story.
He
always
did. Bill say that stupid thing about my name again?
I can't pronounce it. My tongue won't pronounce it. La 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 la. I can't say it.
Anna, try to stay focused. That Wendy thinks you look just like Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot.
I haven't signed. I'll be right.
She's signing a card.
Oh, she is.
There's a communal greeting card or something.
Oh, all right.
Going on, ladies and gentlemen. Annabelle Aval.
Wonder Woman.
She's my Wonder Woman.
Chicago's Wonder Woman.
Wendy,
yes.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my God. I thought of you the whole movie.
Oh, I am flattered, honored, and I also hate that you're not. I mean, I love Steve Bertrand, and I learn a lot about business with him during that hour. But
you're lucky he's off today.
I'm never invited to the show anymore.
No, we've tried a bunch of times.
No, that's not true. Don't lie.
We have.
I can't do the first hour when one of you is out. I miss you guys.
We'll get you back in here. Don't
I don't
worry.
Know how to use the phone with that app thing.
Oh,
it's so easy.
We'll figure it out. We'll get
You're
you back
Wonder
on.
Woman. You should figure it out.
Yeah.
She's got a lasso of truth, but she can't figure out how to use the phone.
You're so funny.
What?
Are you always on the radio, Richards?
Yes. Yes.
Thanks,
man. It's like a half hour with Cochran in the morning.
Right.
Every day.
I wake up to Dean. And then I listen to him on the radio.
Oh, in front of Wonder
Love
Woman.
You guys.
Bye, Anna.
See ya.
Take care. Dean, Atomic Blonde.
Yes.
With Charlize Theron. This looks good.
Jeez.
Wow.
This looks good.
That was creepy.
She's like the female James Bond.
Well,
she is pretty kick-ass.
Yeah.
I would say that she's kick-ass. I think going the not you. We're not talking about you anymore. We're done talking about you. Wow, you give her one compliment.
I know, that's all it takes.
She is definitely kick-ass. She is a British MI6 agent in this new movie.
Yeah.
She is assigned to go to Berlin to break up a Russian espionage ring. Like, that could happen in modern-day world.
Fantasy.
This is actually set shortly before the Berlin Wall falls down. But anyway, something goes awry.
Oh.
And
doesn't it always?
And the action ensues as a result of that. Charlize, the movie is okay. The plot line of the story, I think it's kind of like your typical could be Bourne Identity, could be Mission Impossible, could be one of the James. I think the James Bond movies are way smarter and way more thoughtful.
Right.
Not that this is dumb at all, but I think the Bond movies are on a different level, I think, than this one. This one reminded me more of Bourne Identity. So it's kind of average, but Charlize Theron really brings it in this movie. She really, you would say that she is kick-ass.
Yeah.
That's an understatement. She elevates this movie, and it's pretty amazing. She was like, remember when Angelina Jolie was doing all these
like Lara Croft
action-y, Lara Croft and Salt, and all those. It's very much like that.
Yeah.
Only Charlize Theron. I say Charlize Theron. You said Theron. Is that is that correct?
I think Dean's right.
I think the bill was correct.
Yeah.
She was on with Trevor Noah last night, who is also from South Africa, like Charlize is. And he said it the way you're saying it, so I think that may be the correct way.
Yeah,
I'm going to still say it wrong, though.
Okay, that's fine.
That's how you roll.
I just like to be.
Maybe
that
she
way.
Says it wrong, Dean. Maybe we're saying it's right,
possible.
And she says
maybe
it wrong.
Your parents told her wrong,
right,
from the beginning. Maybe she doesn't even know that she's supposed to be saying it the way I do.
Maybe.
Anyway, she made the movie for me, and she makes it really fun. Don't go in expecting a whole bunch in the story department, but really fun, and Dean's List B.
Oh, that's not bad at all. Okay, let's move to Detroit, which is something very few people have said out loud.
A sentence that's rarely been uttered.
Right.
Actually, you know what? I was in Detroit this week because...
It's come a long way.
Another statement that is rarely ever uttered. I went to Detroit this week. I went to interview the cast of this new movie, and I don't think I've ever been to Detroit before, and I was
really?
Only there for a day. I was just a quick in and out.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever been. So
I've never been either.
It's only been, what you hear in your mind that Detroit is, and frankly, if you ask most people today, they'll tell you Chicago is
more
dangerous. What that image of Detroit once was. I was in the downtown area there, which as the results of many of the things that happened in this movie. Was literally set on fire, was literally destroyed. So now it's been rebuilt. Some of the old buildings have all been rebuilt, rehabbed, and it really was quite nice. So I have, from my very limited experience, I have nothing but nice things to say about what they're doing in Detroit.
Good.
This movie is set 50 years ago this week.
Yeah.
When an after-hours club where people would go to dance and play music and drink. After hours, was raided by the police. It was in an African-American neighborhood. It was all African-American people. And they were shuffled outside and, frankly, abused by the police. Unnecessary force, unnecessary roughing. And the people who were part of that, all the people who were in this neighborhood who witnessed it, frankly, had just had enough. And Detroit erupted into... what's called the 12th Street riots that lasted for about a week, burned down quite a bit of the city of Detroit. The terrible race riots that were going on, a lot of the major cities, including Chicago, had them as well for different reasons. But this movie focuses on that raid, those riots, and zeroes in on one of the events that took place as a result of these riots afterwards when police... not only Detroit police, but Michigan State Police and the National Guard were trying to quiet things down there. There was a raid on a famous hotel in Detroit called the Algiers Hotel, where, again, people were rounded up, people were abused. By the telling of the story, which is alleged to be true, tremendous police misconduct, which left three people dead, and several people severely beaten. That's what this movie chronicles. So This movie is not an easy movie to watch. It actually reminded me in many ways of watching 12 Years a Slave, where you were viewing horrible atrocities that were taking place against African American people.
Yeah.
Not pleasant to watch, not fun. But I think important to watch. It is a superbly made movie. Catherine Bigelow, who won the Academy Award directing The Hurt Locker, brings you this movie in sort of a documentary style. It's brilliantly directed. The performances are outstanding. John Boyega, who plays Finn in the latest Star Wars movie, he's part of the cast of this, is amazing. Will Poulter, who was the little kid in Where the Millers, he's actually a British actor. He plays one of the racist cops, is just one of the most despicable on-screen characters that you're ever going to see. He's spectacular in the movie. This whole cast of mostly young, mostly unknown actors is just so outstanding. This movie is so beautifully done. But know when you go to see this movie, it's not a day in the park. It's tough to watch, but definitely worth it. And also, you can't help but reflect on things that still happen in today's headlines, which are very similar, which I think was kind of the point of making the movie, that this happened 50 years ago, but these kinds of things are still happening all over the country today. So big fat Dean's List A.
Nice.
On that one. Detroit is really great. It's only going to be in a few theaters this week. Next week it'll open into even more theaters. But then,
yes,
if you want to talk about a dramatic epic,
yes,
that's opening up, the Emoji Movie.
Finally opening.
Is finally opening. The long-awaited Emoji Movie.
Yes.
Animated. That takes you inside your smartphones where these little emoji symbols all live. And, you know, try to get along. Hijinks take place.
You would imagine.
I love hijinks.
Things happen between, you know, get a bunch of emojis together.
You're in for a game or two.
Something's
going
to go down, as we say in the streets.
Yep.
And that's what this movie is about. It's a very high-tech centric storyline, which was really a little weird that I think this is the first movie that I've ever seen where everything is so technology dependent. So on the like super serious over analyzing this movie, it's kind of interesting in that way. On the other side, it's, you know, it's kind of clever, it's kind of funny. There are so many jokes about the poop emoji that you know, if the 12-year-old boy in you will be laughing nonstop at Sir Patrick Stewart, two-time Sir Laurence Olivier winner, Royal Shakespearean, you know, a theater veteran, portraying the voice of the poop emoji in a brilliant tour de force performance, as far as I'm concerned.
God, I'm surprised he agreed to that.
I smell an Oscar.
Oh, boy. To the urinal.
Number one and number two.
Yes.
Dean's List. I gave this a Dean's List B. I actually kind of enjoyed that.
You just said that out loud, Dean, on the radio.
I commit to it. I gave it a Dean's List B.
Dean's List B for the emoji movie.
I'm not ashamed.
Right. Maybe it'll come to the Skylark Drive-In on New York Street and Route 59 in Aurora.
Yes.
That's what it was.
Find that. How did you find
a listener? They're awesome.
Wow.
Dean, thank you.
Imagine me, a young Dean with his big lamb chop sideburns.
Yes.
My leisure suit.
Tearing tickets.
Sitting up there drinking an old style, watching the Emoji Movie, but not being able to hear anything.
Dean,
because of the sideburns?
Yeah.
They're like earmuffs.
They block the sound.
That's why I have them.
Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you in a week.
Thanks, Dean.
That's Dean Richards. We'll find out what Elise Glink has on the Wintrust Business Lunch next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.